Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One. Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, in this live show from Naples, we're going to do the Rotten Tomatoes game, always fun, and then comedy ensues. First, let's say about Geico. Do you own, do you rent your home? Well, you got to do one or the other, right? Do you have an automobile? Do you have insurance? Sure you do. How about you bundle them at Geico? Geico makes it easy for you to bundle your renter's or homeowner's insurance. It's a good thing, too, because you got so much to do already around the house. So go to geico.com, get a quote, see just how much you could save. Geico makes it easy when you bundle at geico.com.
For just $25, you get wine and gifts. Ace's favorite stuff or products from ACS. Every single month, you get the drink you choose. It's hard to beat cool stuff and booze. Adam's Monthly Nut. Adam's Monthly Nut.
You heard Dick. A new year of Adam's Monthly Nut hath begun. We kick off 2021 with a bang, with products like a bottle of Promescent Delay Spray to keep you going all year long, a collapsible water bowl to cure feminine canine hydration syndrome anywhere it strikes, a secret Santa gift, because let's be honest, we got Corolla gifts galore at the warehouse, and a digital download of the first three glorious years of the Ace Awards. The year of the devil is behind us. Get ready for an all-new year of Adam's Monthly Nut. Live from Off the Hook Comedy Club in Naples, Florida, this is the Adam Carolla Show. With Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, and a spirited round of the Rotten Tomatoes game. And now, with sincere apologies for all the Germany or Florida jokes over the years, Adam Carolla!
Ella?
Yeah. Well, if you're listening at home, none of this will be funny. But if you're here tonight, it is pitch black because... Oh, there it is. Oh, okay. There it is. We just turned the lights on. Thank you guys for coming out. We've got a great show planned for you. Normally, I spend a portion of the day trying to figure out some funny stuff to talk about at the top of the show, but I just hung out and drank. And then I looked at my buck slip where I normally write the funny things, and it just says Florida on it, and that's all I got. So whatever we can make of just me writing Florida down. I do have a couple of observations. One is, when I flew out here on Friday, they had the little hook on the front of the seat where you could now rest your phone, right? Have you guys seen that? Have you guys flown with this? They don't have the tray table anymore. The tray table is in the arm. And by the way, getting the tray table out of the arm is like trying to get a girl... a 19-year-old girl to orgasm. It's like, I don't know what we're doing. All the yelling is not helping. The woman, the stewardess, I call them stewardess. I'm grandfathered in. I get to say Negro. No. All right. The point is, flight attendant, as if that's noble. She's like, the tray table's in the arm. And then you flap the arm open, and then you stare at it. And she goes... you got to push the blip, pull the lever back, it'll pop out. And then you start pushing on it and nothing happens. And then you start pulling on it. And then you go, I got some floss. I think I can loop it and dig it out. And she's leaning over and your seat partner's trying to help. And eventually I got the tray table out. But they have now, there's no more entertainment. You just have to fly with your own phone and stare at your own phone. Oh, there it is. Yeah, and so they have this little flip jump seat for your phone, and my partner, by the way, I don't know, what do we call the person sitting next to us on a flight? Do we have to call them our flight partner? Life partner's pretty gay. Flight partner is sort of gay. It's like I'm only gay when I'm in the air. The person sitting next to me, she flipped her little hatch down, which comes down. You took pictures of it, Max Pata?
I found it on the internet.
She flipped the thing down. The thing sticks out 1 3/8 from the back. It probably not even 1 3/8. It's flush with the back of the seat that's in front. So she flipped it down, and then the bitchy stewardess came by as we were taxiing. It's like, we need you to put it back up again. Like, listen, I'm not sure if this... First off, somebody got on a flight with a 180-pound Malamute that was sleeping on the guy's feet. If that doesn't constitute a tripping distraction, I don't know what is. If you're so fucking fat that your belt loop is going to get caught on this miniature tray that's come down from the seat in front of you, you deserve to die in a fiery crash. I'm sorry, but she's like, ma'am, you got to flip that up. And the chick was like, really? I have to flip up this tray that hangs out 3/8 of an inch. And she's like, yeah. So she pulled her phone out. She flipped it up. And then she just put her phone in the space of the seat that was in front where it just sat perfectly anyway. Because she's a rebel, evidently. I don't know. You know, I have this thing whenever I leave L.A., whenever we leave L.A., we always drive around. We went to the museum. We went to the automotive museum.
Rev's Automotive Museum.
No, it's not Rev. It's the
Collier. It's a Collier collection at Rev.
Oh, shut up. It's a Collier collection. I'm not interested in who built the building. I want to know what's in. No, we went to the Collier collection, but the point is we were driving, and when you come from L.A. and you drive in other cities, you drive down the street and you go, it's so clean. It's so clean. Why aren't there people lighting trash on fire and raping each other? Weren't cops shooting homeless people? How come there's no graffiti? What's going on? There's almost no gang violence. Like, what? And you start realizing, you go from town to town to town exclaiming, it's so clean. The roads are clean. Look at it, they're clean. And then you realize, L.A.'s a piece of shit. That's what you realize. You realize, oh, it's not everywhere else. L.A.'s a piece of shit. I wrote down two other things. Grouper. Evidently, everyone wants you to eat grouper here. You got to get to grouper. I do? Yes. How come I don't have to eat it in L.A.? You don't eat grouper in L.A. You go to Florida, you got to eat grouper. Get the grouper. I don't even know if I like grouper. I'm not sure what grouper is. It's a fish. It's great. They make a grouper sandwich. Isn't that huge fish with a huge mouth? Didn't God create that creature to eat me? I don't feel like I should be eating it. It has a mouth that's like 4 feet wide, right? Doesn't it? Is a grouper a giant sea bass? No? What is a giant sea bass? A giant sea bass? I was told this was an angler's convention. Am I wrong? What kind of bait should I use to get crappie or walleye? Come on, show of hands. Wait a minute. What's a giant sea bass, if not a grouper? It's a Jewfish? Jewfish. That's what you call your mother-in-law. Oh, here comes Nancy, the Jewfish.
Yeah.
Your name's Nancy? The Jewfish? Here she comes. Oh, who's going to pick up the tab after Nancy the Jewfish cuts out? Your name's Nancy? Wait, did I just name you Nancy, or is your name Nancy? Oh, wow, the Jewfish. Wait, am I taking fucking crazy pills? What is a... What is a sea bass?
Oh, that's a grouper. This is a grouper.
All right, that's a grouper. You guys should eat one of these. Everyone wants to eat groupers. What do they do here? They have extra grouper, and then when stupid people from Los Angeles show up, they try to pawn off the grouper on us. Well, you guys are eating all the shrimp. Is that what's going on? There's obviously a ruse afoot here. Well, then what the fuck is a giant sea bass? You better hope it's not a goddamn grouper. I'm going to open a can of sea bass on all you guys. One last thing before we get started here. I know I'm going insane. What is the giant fish of the sea?
There actually is a species called the giant sea bass.
And it doesn't have an other name. That's it. We don't give it its own name. We just go, hey, here's this medium-sized thing that's in a lake. Well, we'll put it in the ocean. Well, what should we call it? Well, we'll just call it a giant version of the shit that was in the lake because it's bigger. That's all they got?
Yeah, we got lazy when we named that one.
Jesus Christ, people. Come on, anglers. All right, last one. You guys tell me. Tell me there's a remedy for this. I'm on a schedule from a constitution standpoint. I get up in the morning. I have a cup of coffee. I listen to a little radio, and then I do a little offloading in the privacy and the sanctity of my own home. This is where I like it. But when one has to get up at 4 a.m. and catch a flight at 6 a.m. out of LAX, one's bowels schedule is off. Because if the normal program is get up at 8:30, have a cup of coffee, do my business at 9. Well, in fact, if you get up at 4 a.m., now you're 5 hours ahead of time. And now I had 7.5 hours of travel ahead of me. So I was going to leave the door at 5 a.m. in Los Angeles on Friday. And we were due to land out here at 4:30 in the afternoon after connecting flight and all that kind of stuff. I don't like to drop the deuce in the airplane. Now, it's not a courtesy. I actually think the weight will fuck things up. I'm not an aerodynamicist, but I feel like the weight. I haven't really thought it out, but I just don't want to chance it, okay? So I don't want to take the Duke on the flight, and I don't want to do it in the bathroom at the airport because that's the scariest place. You'll get some senator, and his foot will come sliding under yours, and next thing you know, you're blowing him at the newsstand. It's happened. No, it's hand of God. That has happened to me before. It is a slippery slope. You don't know. You're vulnerable. Your pants are down. You've been up since 4 a.m. Do you guys have a technique? Can you expedite things? Can you move it along? Is it just coffee? Is there nothing else? How about you jump up and you land on your heels? Will that do it? Okay, that's disgusting. Wait a minute. Is there a giant grouper? It's a Jewfish. Nancy the Jewfish.
They actually call the giant grouper the Goliath grouper.
Mm. Yeah, and do they make a weird snapping sound with their mouth that like deafens the other? It's a fin when they get going? His friend just gave the drunken guy shoulder touch. Rob, no, shut up, Rob. Rob. No. Don't talk to the cops. No. They don't, no. Don't talk to the cops. I'll talk to Rob. He got the drunken guy's shoulder touch 5 minutes into the show. His friend gave him the drunken shoulder touch. No. I'll talk to him. No. Those ladies are married. Leave them alone. No, don't talk to the cops or the married ladies. See, you got the shoulder touch so early on. That's the drunken guy's shoulder touch. He just got it from his friend. Wow. Okay. All right, should we get the show started? Should we bring on Gina Grad and Bald Brian?
Hey!
Hola, sorry. I'm going to figure out a place to stand because I feel like I'm blocking you guys.
Hey, Adam, I'm sorry to interrupt. I do have breaking news right now. Mm. Lest we think that the good people of Naples, Florida, are raging anti-Semites, I looked it up, and it says the Atlantic Goliath grouper, also known as the Jewfish.
Yes, there you go.
Wow.
Good eating. The Jewfish, and they spell it like J-E-W.
Just as God intended, Jewfish. Another name for, never mind.
All right. Brian, any thoughts?
Fun fact number one, I'm pretty sure that the person next to you on the plane, I've always heard them called your seatmate.
Seatmate.
Number two, yes, the sea bass and the grouper are part of the same family of serenids, so you're right on there.
I knew you guys would come through.
I hate to break it to you, you're not disrupting the weight of the plane with your poop. That weight was already in you. It just came out of you.
Yeah,
it's not as though that weight
but...
didn't exist.
But there's something in racing called unsprung weight, Brian, where weight shifts. You know what I mean? It's like when they load up the plane, they have to do the 50-50 center of gravity. They can't put all the weight in the back or all the weight in the front. So if I'm sitting in the middle of the plane and I walk up to the front and I offload all this. All right.
I think you know the solution. You got to poop in your seat.
Yeah, you should poop in my seat. What the hell were we talking about? The Jewfish?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So
I'm just so grateful you didn't say it's another name for G's V.
See, that's what we name her vagina. The Jewfish. Yes. All right. So you guys ready to play a little the Rotten Tomatoes game?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm ready.
Let's do that.
Guessing if it's rotten or fresh. If the guess is neat, then we'll get a bonus 5. It's the Rotten Tomatoes game. You know how we do it. Give me the Rotten Tomatoes game. Now it's time to play it.
So hold on, Brian. The person next to you is your seatmate.
That's what I've always heard. Is this what the audience knows to be true?
All they know is Jewish shit. They don't know. It's got to be derogatory. Oh, they know like Heeb person or something like that, Yid mate or something like that. It's all got to be derogatory toward Jews. That's all they know.
Hook nose mate, yeah.
The hook nose mate, yeah. Seatmate sounds like a bathroom napkin for the elderly, right? Would you like to use the seatmate? It's gentle. Hey, can I say this? Have you guys been watching those Charmin commercials with the bears?
Oh, yeah.
What the?
Sure.
Whose idea was this with the bears? And then the bear's like, oh, I used the bargain brand toilet paper. Now my asshole's itchy all day. Like, really? I feel like I could wipe my ass with the top of a shoebox and be fine 10 minutes later. I wouldn't be walking around all day itching. Sorry.
Yeah, the quality may not be up to snuff, but it's not going to affect my day.
Yes. No, the young bear's day was ruined because he's a bargain basement toilet paper. All right, Dawson, what do we got?
All right, now, before we get started here today, I do want to say happy birthday to Ryan Levi. He's in the audience right now. There's a chance that he was the one who got the drunken shoulder tug, so we'll just leave it there.
Ryan Levi? Levi, is that a Jew last name?
Far from it.
You know Nancy? She in the tribe? Nancy the Jewfish and Rob the Levi? Rob Levi. Is Levi a Jewish name?
It's not in this
case. Not in this case? All right. Well, if you're not going to help the joke, wrap it up.
Adam, to your point, the Levites were a tribe in Israel.
And they were?
Yes.
Yeah, my parents could only afford the Super Denim tribe. We're from the Wrangler tribe. Yeah. Well, there's Zachary Levi, right? He's Jewish, right? But then there's Levi the jeans, probably not a Jew since he made...
Levi Strauss was Jewish.
Was he?
Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
Levi Strauss was Jewish?
Yeah, you got to know your Semitic history.
Jesus.
At least I didn't.
I didn't know that. It's like he made shit with his hands. I don't know. Strauss sounds German to me, but all right. All right, let's go. What do we got?
How old is
Levi? Mr. Levi. 39 years, medium young. Wonderful. It all flies by. You blink your eyes. I hate when you have... This is the problem with having kids. When you have kids, people are trying to get to the end of your life super fast. You know, because they go... You know, when you have kids, I got 14-year-old twins. When they're five, everyone goes, enjoy it, enjoy it. You blink your eyes, and they're in an old age home. And it's like, wait a minute, I'm dead. You blink your eyes. It's so fast. You blink your eyes. They're in college. It's like, oh, great. Then my prostate has exploded moments after we blink our eyes. You understand? I age with them, right? So if they're six and we blink our eyes and they're 28, that means I'm fucking dead. Sorry. You blink your eyes. You're in the grave. It's awesome. It's awesome. You have kids? Don't ever have... Oh, wait, you do? Shit. God damn it, I should wait. I should always wait.
They're a blessing.
They're a blessing. They're such a blessing. The other thing they do when you have kids, they go, nothing will ever be the same ever again. Nothing. It's like, really? I don't know. I still got cars I beat off the other day. Things are pretty normal around the Corolla house. Nothing. It'll never be the same. And then they go... You'll never care as much about something as you do. I go, I still got the cars. Do you care about those cars? There's a lot of kids. There's only so many Paul Newman race cars. Let's be honest. All right, sorry. Yeah, how about the game? That's right, 39. God bless.
Well, this week we're taking a cue from the fine city of Naples. It's known as part of Florida's Paradise Coast, and it's filled with beautiful beaches, shopping districts, and yes... fancy, exclusive golf courses. Mm. And you know, just like golf, the Rotten Tomatoes game is a sport that requires concentration, the right posture, and a whole lot of booze. Mm. So keep your head down and let's take a swing at this week's theme, golf movies.
It's also scored like golf.
Yeah.
A lot of
course. That's right.
It's true. You want the lowest score. Hey,
Adam
I walked
Sandler
on
started-
the beach. Hold on a second, Dawson. What the fuck's going on? I walked on the beach today. For quite a ways, and everyone who was walking on the beach was wearing tennis shoes. Is that a Florida thing?
That's weird.
I walk on the beach in Malibu, everyone's barefoot. I walk here, everyone's wearing tennis shoes. Is that a thing? These are old people?
Is that an age thing?
Nancy the Jew, answer.
Hey, maybe they're not worried about Jewfish so much as they're worried about jellyfish.
Oh, maybe it's a jellyfish. They're walking on the sand. They're all wearing shoes. I've done the same hike in Malibu a million times. Everyone is barefoot. I don't know. Cultural thing. Sorry, Dawson. Go ahead.
Quite all right. Adam Sandler stars in our first film about a failed hockey player with anger issues who takes on the well-mannered sport of golf. Christopher McDonald and Julie Bowen co-star, along with a very memorable Bob Barker cameo. The Price is Wrong, bitch. In 1996's Happy Gilmore.
A fun movie.
Can I say this? Adam Sandler's character, the real-life version of Adam Sandler's character in almost any one of his comedies... would be a homicidal maniac. He's constantly beating the shit out of people. He's the least socially nuanced human being on the planet. You watch all his comedies, Mr. Deeds or Happy Gilmore, whatever. He's beating the shit out of almost everybody. But I guess it's kind of an extension, sort of like Three Stooges or something like that. All right. The critics had not turned on Adam Sandler yet, right?
I don't know about that.
We'll see.
Had they turned on him yet before this?
This was his second movie, and I can tell you his first movie was not well received.
Billy Madison?
Yeah.
I love that movie!
I do too, I'm telling you, for the critics. From the critics.
All right.
They're sitting at about 40%.
So did they think it was fun? Obviously, they didn't praise it, but is it... how unfresh is it? You guys ready to go?
Yes.
Yep.
I say it had enough laughs to be a 53.
Ooh. I'm right there with you, man. 51.
50!
Wow.
Happy Gilmore is just fresh at 61%.
Wow.
All right. Shocking. We're all in the neighborhood somewhere.
Our next film stars Adam's buddy Kevin Costner as a former golf prodigy who now owns a driving range and has little ambition. But soon, this romantic comedy takes a turn when Costner tries to impress a girl and qualify for the U.S. Open. Rene Russo, Cheech Marin, and Don Johnson co-star in 1996's Tin Cup.
Anybody see this?
Theater. I saw this in theaters.
Wow.
Hey, can I tell you guys the greatest... try to spin the great husband move into something shitty. I don't know if you guys have experienced this, but you know that move where you try to be a cool husband, but every once in a while your wife tries to spin it up like you're a horrible individual?
We're all familiar.
We're all familiar with how they can take something good and turn it into poison and then throw it back in your face.
Strip the soul from your body.
The ultimate is Kevin Costner invited me and my family to come to his home. He has a bunch of acreage outside of like Ventura County, Oxnard, wherever those places are where people take their fucking shoes off before they walk on the goddamn beach. The sane people live. Anyway. He's got this double-wide trailer, and it's parked on a bunch of acreage. And he said to me, why don't you get your wife and your kids and come out and stay in the cabin? We'll go to the market during the day. We'll have a picnic and hang out at night. We'll eat at my house, which is a beautiful home, probably a quarter mile away. And then you guys can go back. You can sleep in the cabin. And I said, that sounds awesome. So I gathered up the family. We went out there. We went out to this acreage with the ocean on one side, the hills on the other. Kevin Costner gets out the football. He's got a cannon for an arm. Sending my son deep, chucking the ball 60 yards in the air. My son's shagging balls that Costner's throwing. I got to do that move, that cuckolded move where you skip the ball back to the guy because you can't get the ball. Oh, you don't have enough arm to get it all the way back to. Or you do that stupid move, the move, people, where the guy throwing it back doesn't have enough arm, so he pretends to run it in like, okay, here, I'll just run it over. I'll just run it over. Okay, now that I'm 8 feet away, okay, there you go. All right, I just wanted to run it to you. I definitely could have thrown it to you, but I just wanted to run it to you, and now I'm going to throw it. So. Do the day of that, have the picnic, Costner goes to the store, gets the food, everyone eats, hangs out. That night, we go to Costner's house, hang out, eat, have a good time, drink some wine, get back to the trailer that night after eating at Costner's house, and I say to my family, I think we should just head home and sleep. I feel like the sheets are a little bit dank in this cabin. My daughter pitches a fit, starts crying, says she wants to stay there, says we promised we'd be here the next morning to ride bicycles, and then I say, fine, we'll stay the night, and we stayed the night. 2 years later, the story comes up. Here's how the story plays out. Remember that time you terrorized our daughter when you told her we had to leave Costner's ranch? That would have been the best part of my childhood, the best 2 days. By the way, that would have been the best 10 years of my childhood, those 2 days hanging out on Costner's ranch. And I think he's still up there. And... the beauty of Costner and that ranch is he wants to build shit there, but he's in California, and he's been trying to pull permits for like 14 years, and they won't let him. That's the beauty of it. That's why you guys all need to move to Florida. Wait a minute. All right, Tin Cup. Tin Cup.
Tin Cup.
It's good. People like this movie, right? Yeah.
I saw it in the theaters circa 1998 or whenever it came out. I have not thought about it since then, which is not a good sign. However, I remember it being pleasant.
Yeah.
It came out in 96.
Oh, wow. Well, there you go.
He saw it at the Dollar Theater.
it was the second run theater.
All right. I say Cheech Marin was delightful in this movie as well. I will say the critics liked it. It's 73.
Yeah, wow. I'm just a little lower. This is a Ron Shelton movie, I'm pretty sure. He did Bull Durham and White Man Can't Jump, a lot of good movies. So a little pedigree there. I went close to you at 68.
All right, this is where we separate the women from the little boys, if I'm right. I followed my heart, never seen it, don't know anything about it, doesn't look awesome, 32.
No.
Oh, no, Tina.
We are certainly separating the women. Tin Cup is fresh at 71.
I call foul.
Adam, did you nail that?
I said 73, but I'm on a pace. I'm on a pace.
Now we travel back in time to the Great Depression. Matt Damon plays a once promising golfer whose career and life were derailed by World War I. Enter Will Smith, who saves the day in this action flick and coaches Damon back into the great golfer he once was.
Action flick?
From the year 2000, the legend of Bagger Vance.
Saw this
also starring Charlize Theron.
Yeah, saw this theater.
Is this based on anything?
It's actually... Okay, fucking Chris can do the research on this. I'm aware that it's loosely based on some kind of, I think, I'm going to say Indian, but I could be wrong. It's a sort of fable about, it's called like Bhagavans, and it's about like, I'm whiffing on this one, but it's some kind of like old fable it's based on.
I would like a movie poster with the guts to just go, based on a bad idea. I would see that movie just because of its transparency. Sorry, go ahead.
Isn't this, and Brian, you might know this better, isn't this where the phrase became popular, the magical black character?
I don't know if this popularized that, but this is of that very wide subgenre, the magical, they call it the magical Negro, the black man who comes to impart wisdom of the mystic, you know, arts or whatever.
To make the successful white man more successful.
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
Magical Negro is what I named my dick in high school.
Oh, boy.
So many women were disappointed that I had to change it to pouty white guy. But for a while there, it was Magical Negro. All right. I don't know. I've never seen this movie. I feel like people wanted to like this movie, or the critics wanted, or maybe the theme. Maybe the Magical Negro thing was too much. Maybe they liked it. Maybe it's for this could really... This could cause a chasm here, because this is the kind of movie that could be in the mid-low 40s, but could also be in the mid-70s. So I don't know. Did you people see it? Now, look, a lot of people are like, wait a minute. You're not allowed to go to your audience for help, but what if your audience is retarded? Then it's no help at all. It's actually minus help. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, what if you go to that dunce to help you crunch the numbers? All right. I'm going to say barely fresh at 63.
I almost did my thing where I told you that I hate this movie. I really do hate this movie. This movie was a slog. I gave it 38.
Mm. Whoa. Let's see if we get separated again on this one. I said 62.
No, this movie sucks.
As is often the case, Ace Man should have stuck with his first call in the low 40s.
Oh, no.
Bagger Vance is rotten at 43.
No, damn it. Whenever I give examples, I should stick to my own examples. Damn it.
The people liked it.
The people have it at 65. All right.
Well, this classic comedy centers around a down-on-his-luck teen who takes a job as a caddy at the snob-infested Bushwood Country Club. The endlessly quotable film co-stars a murderer's row of comic actors like Chevy Chase, Rodney Dangerfield, and, of course, Bill Murray from 1980, Caddyshack.
Ooh. Beloved. See, Adam? Beloved.
Beloved.
This movie sucks.
But it doesn't... What? Explain yourself, Brian.
Nah, it's overrated. It's kind of broad comedy. It'll be interesting.
Oh, you get food.
Yeah, sure. It'll be interesting to see if it'll be like low from the time or high in retrospect.
Mm. Yeah, get out of here, Brian. You're no longer welcome in Florida.
What do I know?
I agree, a little overrated. I don't know. It's not Goonies overrated, but maybe a little overrated. All right. So this is the kind of thing that the critics could have not been delighted by, even though America was delighted by it. I'm going to say...
God damn it.
You guys locked in?
Yeah.
I'm going to say... low fresh at 74.
I went just sub fresh at 55. Mm.
I think this is the kind of movie that you don't dare admit, unless you're Brian and Adam, that you think it's subpar, 79.
Mm.
Caddyshack is certified fresh.
Oh, no.
At 73.
Ooh.
Oh, damn it. Did you get a negative 5 on that?
I did 74, I think. I'm clawing my way back into this game.
Me too. Well, I spun out so hard with Tin Cup.
Mm-hmm.
Before we move on, let's get an update on Bagger Vance. It is based on a sacred Hindu text where the god Krishna.
Hold on, they didn't have texting back then, dude.
Didn't hear that.
Sorry, this is a dumb joke. You didn't need to hear it.
It's an old Hindu warrior tale.
Mm.
And it is Bhagavan, right? Something like
yes.
that?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
How do you think back in the day they would describe old Hindu warrior tales when it was actually of the time? Would they say this is a current Hindu warrior tale, or would they just say it?
This
They'd
is
say contemporary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. All right. Maybe I had mushrooms before I came out here tonight. I don't know.
Well, if you loved the R-rated Caddyshack,
mm-hmm.
brace yourself for the PG-rated sequel. 8 years later, the Bushwood Country Club is purchased by a self-made millionaire who wants to turn the property into an amusement park. Chevy Chase returns, and guys like Dan Aykroyd, Randy Quaid, and Jackie Mason join the cast from 1988. Caddyshack 2.
Yeah.
So when they do these, when they do the sequels 8 years later, and they try to assemble the original cast, how do you think the process works? I think they go, who's either getting divorced or in trouble with the IRS? Get them on the phone. I mean everyone from the first original cast. Anyone who's being screwed by the IRS or their high school sweetheart, they're in. The rest are out. All right. Now, we got a close game going.
We do.
This is, the critics are not going to be kind to this. But are we talking about single digits? Are we talking about high mid-20s over here? Says the guy with incredible certitude who knows zero about this movie or even how the game is played because he's positioned in such a way where he can't even see the fucking screen. But he knows. High 20s. Yes, you love this movie. You love this movie. Oh, you love the game. All right, all right. But don't hate the... Okay, but here's my point. Be careful of movies you loved when you were 11. They will get you into trouble. Because when you are 11, look, let's face it. You're not retarded, but you're dumb when you're 11. You think, you know, you go like, oh, man, there's nothing better than taking cheese nips and putting cheese whiz on the cheese nips and then rolling it in candy corn. It's the fucking best. You think a lot of stuff is the best. You know what I mean? But it turns out it's not so good. All right. This could really separate us here. I'm saying that the critics have punished this and punished the producers. I'm going low at 14%.
fortune favors the bald. No, this is not a picture of my head. It's a zero.
Zero.
I relate to the gentleman who we all saw this when we were, you know, six and thought it was just hilarious. I thought I was being mean. Apparently, I was being kind. 24.
24.
Caddyshack 2 is rotten.
Oh, yeah.
At 4.
Nice. I needed
four. Out.
Yes.
I am out.
4%.
Oh, moral victory for me because the people have it at 18, which is almost 14. As a matter of fact, if you take my
score,
14, and you add the critic's score, you get 18, so I should get a 20-point deduction.
Fair.
That's just good math.
Wow. 4.
Well, our scores have come in.
Mm.
Close game, I think.
No.
It was a very close game.
Not for me.
Among the first two of you. Gina Grad, congratulations. You are on the podium.
Nice.
Securely in third place with a score of 8-2.
Get you, Costner.
Wait, you broke up. Say it again, Dawson.
82.
82. All right.
For Gina Grad.
Mm-hmm.
Leaving Adam Carolla and bald Brian.
Brian went for the zero.
I know. I knew it was one of the worst sequels ever. I didn't know if the score was, obviously.
We will indeed see if fortune favored the bald. You two are separated by 1 point.
Oh!
Wow!
Adam Carolla, your score, a strong 41.
Wow. Yes, that's noble.
Bald Brian went for the big zero at the end. Was it enough?
We'll find out. Will the gods reward me?
As we reveal that Bald Brian's score is 40.
Stop right there.
For the win.
Oh, damn it. A pox on your family.
A dominating win. Dominating.
Jesus. Goddamn Christ. Just at the end with the zero. All right. Outro. Yeah. Outro.
It's the Rotten Tomatoes game. You know how we do it.
Well, that's why you have to play the game. The main reason you have to play the game is it kills a half hour up here where I don't have to think of funny shit. That's the main reason. And then we also have to crown the victor as well. All right, Gina, get the news queued up. I'll tell you guys about LifeLock, new tactic for stealing credit cards and personal info. E-skimming injects malicious code into e-commerce websites, checkout process, trying to steal your identity. And once they steal it, they keep it. The only time they've ever tried to give an identity back was my friend Ray. They're like, hey, it's hurting our FICO score. Could you please take your identity back? It's important to understand how cybercrime and identity theft affect our lives. Every day we put our info at risk on the internet. You could miss certain threats by just monitoring your credit alone. Good thing there's LifeLock. LifeLock is a leader in identity theft protection, helps detect a wide range of identity threats like your social security number for sale on the dark web. If they detect your info has potentially been compromised, they will send you an alert, right, Dawson?
No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses. LifeLock can see threats you might miss on your own. Join now and save up to 25% off your first year by using promo code Adam. Call 1-800-LifeLock or head to LifeLock.com. Use promo code Adam for 25% off.
He's a pro, isn't he? Although pros aren't often drunk and high at their job, but I still say he's a pro. All right, should we do some news with Gina Grad?
Let's do it.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gina Grad. Breaking viral, all those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gina Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Need news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Well, we talk sometimes about luck and how it rolls out. And I have a story where there was some real bad luck and some real good luck in the span of probably 30 seconds. A pair of experienced skydivers are nursing their wounds tonight after a mid-air collision. So both men had a lucky escape after a sunset skydive over Bryan Bay in New South Wales. They're moving into a formation with a group of others. They collided about 1,000 feet above the ground. One man broke his leg. The other went unconscious, but came to and opened his parachute in the nick of time, and both men landed safely.
Let me say this about the skydivers. If it is not exciting enough for you to simply jump out of an airplane, you got big issues. You know what I mean? Like, if you're jumping out of airplanes 9,000 feet above the ground, and at some point you're like, yeah, it's just not doing it for me. We got to get into a giant formation, or I got to do that move where I put my flying squirrel suit on, or we got to do a thing where we run into each other, or I got to do a move where instead of just jumping out of the airplane, I got to do a backflip out of the airplane. I like when guys do that. I like when the guy's so fucking chillaxed that when he does the jump out of the airplane, he does woo, and he does like the backflip, like... It's impressive, but you're jumping out of a moving airplane. That's enough. And the trouble always happens whenever these guys want to go for the giant formation, like whenever they're setting any records. Like, I don't know what the record is. I don't know what the record for the formation is, but when they try to get together and do the formation, you're going, I don't know, 130 miles an hour. You're going to run into other like-minded daredevil assholes in the sky. Shit's going to happen. It's got to be weird to pass out and then wake up and be free-falling in the atmosphere. I can tell you this. I'll tell you the kind of guys I went to high school with. If I collided with another skydiver and it knocked me unconscious... And I woke up midair. When I got to the ground and I took my helmet off, we would realize that one of my high school friends drew a dick on my forehead. I don't know how they got up there. I don't know how they pulled it off. But I can guarantee you, if you ever passed out and any of my high school friends were within 2 miles of where you were, you would wake up with a giant Sharpie dick on your forehead. So that much I know. So the one guy broke his leg.
Yeah, the one guy got knocked unconscious.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing about breaking your leg. You want to break your leg, as it pertains to skydiving, you want to break your leg when you land. You don't want to break your leg in the air, because all you can do is think about landing with a broken leg now. You want to land and break your leg. You don't want to break your leg 8 miles up in the sky and go, oh, fuck, this is going to smart so bad. Like, when you break your leg, it sucks getting out of bed or stepping out of the bathtub. Imagine landing on the ground with a broken leg. Sorry.
You're right about that. To answer your question about the biggest formation, I Googled it quickly, and according to Wikipedia's formation skydiving, the world record for the largest freefall formation is a 400-way. That was set in 2006 in Thailand. 400-way formation skydiving, not an orgy.
Wow, 400. And I think you all have to link up and...
Yes.
Spread a venereal disease or something.
Right.
Yeah. All right. So I'm guessing if the one guy broke his leg and the other guy was knocked unconscious, then it was definitely this guy's head hitting this other guy's femur at a high speed, right? He must have bonked his head on this dude's leg, broke his leg, and then I wonder how far he fell knocked out.
I had to look it up. Sorry to interrupt, Gina, but yeah. Terminal velocity for a skydiver, before the parachute, obviously, is 150 miles an hour. So they probably hit it somewhere near that.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. And they collide about 1,000 feet above the ground. So they didn't have a whole lot of time before it was time to deploy that parachute.
Yeah. I don't know. Where do you guys come down on, like, the elderly skydiving?
They're always strapped to someone, right?
Yeah, they're always strapped to someone. And when you're strapped to someone, I don't know, it doesn't take a lot of skill, right? Like, didn't George Bush do it on his, like, 90th birthday or something like that? And he just strapped up to this dude. And the dude, you know, that's the whole thing. When you're super young, you strap on to people with that baby Bjorn thing, that hammock that your wife wears around her neck, and you strap in, you know, when you're 4 months old, you strap into that. And then later on, at the very end of life, you strap into a professional skydiver, and he jumps out. Those are the two times you strap in, very beginning, very end of life. But then these guys do all the work, and then they land, and they put their feet down first. It's not even your feet that hit first. So you can say, well, then it's gutsy. But how gutsy is it to tempt death 8 years after the average American dies? You know what I mean? I don't feel like that's gutsy. I want to see some seven-year-old skydiving. Yeah.
You're rubbing it into death's face at that point.
Yeah. That's right. All right. Sorry.
And by the way, Adam, you are onto something there. We have a picture right there. He did this 5 times, George H.W. Bush. When he turned 75, he did it. And then every 5 years, to mark another 5 years, he would skydive again. His last one was on his 95th. And at one point, he did start jumping solo, I believe.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Well, you know, you can do this thing. You can jump out of a plane, or you can do what Jack LaLanne used to do, which is like swim a Nile, or you swim to Catalina dragging a garbage barge, holding the rope in your teeth. My thing is, like, I want to bang a prostitute. And every year after my 25th birthday, I'm going to start early. I'm not going to do this shit where we start at 75. That's a fool's errand. Yes. Hey, let me ask you this, too. Do we need a separate helmet for every activity? You know what I mean? We have a football helmet. We have a skateboarding helmet. We have a motorcycle helmet. We have headgear and boxing and, you know, MMA and kickboxing. Do we need a skydiver's helmet? Don't you think one of the helmets we use on the ground would be sufficient? Don't you feel like if this cat who was knocked unconscious, I keep saying, if this guy was wearing a football helmet, he'd be like, what the fuck is this helmet? By the way, there's the weird bike helmet that's just the leather one where we can see what you're thinking, and then there's the hard shell one. Why don't we just have a bike helmet for skydiving? This is such a ripoff. It's the same thing I have to do. I had to pay $85 for my daughter to get shoes to play volleyball. Like, wait a minute. Where do you play? At the gym. What else do they do at the gym? That's the basketball court. Why don't you wear your brother's basketball shoes? Because I need special shoes that cost $85. I don't buy it. I don't think you need volleyball shoes. But have you seen what LeBron James can do with tennis shoes on a basketball court? Okay, bitch, do that, but with a volleyball. You think he's limited by his shoes?
Think how good you would be if you had better shoes.
Yeah, I mean, it's just essentially volleyball is on a basketball court, and essentially you never have to go to the hoop. You just sit there in the middle of the court. It's one perpetual tip-off. Do we need a special helmet for skydiving? Answer, no. Hockey helmet? Wouldn't a hockey helmet work for skydiving? Wouldn't a bike helmet work for skydiving? Wouldn't a motorcycle helmet? A football helmet? This is, you know what? I'm tired of big helmet fleecing Americans. You don't need a special skydiving helmet. You wear a goddamn hockey helmet. That'll be fine. You know,
how many skydivers? The aerodynamic hockey helmet.
What's that?
The aerodynamic hockey helmet.
I know. They're vented and everything. What's harder than ice? You know how many skydiving Americans would still be alive today if they weren't wearing that stupid soft helmet those guys are wearing? Those guys are wearing a helmet that George Clooney wore in that shitty movie from 2007.
Leatherheads.
That's right. Leatherheads.
Adam, you inspired a thought in me that I've never had before, and I'm going to propose it to you right now. Why do baseball helmets have visors?
I don't know. To keep the sun out?
probably to mimic the look of a baseball hat, but every baseball field is configured so the sun is not in the batter's eyes. That's why they call left-handers southpaws. They face south.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Think about what a disaster it would be if the fucking sun was setting in your eyes as a batter. No, the sun always sets to the west.
That's right. They do football fields that way too, right? Like they don't go into the sun. Yeah, I don't know. Because helmets without visors look lame. I mean, if you took Gina.
Yeah.
If I took a shirtless, greased up Brad Pitt and I put him before you, your pussy would be wet. Let's be honest.
Oh, I need 14 mops. Yeah.
But if I just took a motorcycle crash helmet with no visor on it and put it on his head, you'd dry up like somebody backed up a dump truck full of kitty litter.
Fun, but I think I hear my pies burning. I gotta go.
Yes, you need a visor in order to look cool. Sorry.
Yeah.
True.
Okay.
All right. We don't need a skydiving helmet. That's insane. Okay.
Well, you can feed your whole family and your whole crew with KFC. KFC's buckets of chicken. Oh, I love this stuff. Piping hot, crispy, delicious, filling. It's a home-cooked meal you didn't have to cook. Earliest memories of KFC was heading out to my Uncle Vince's house with my cousin Greg and out in Santa Monica, and we get a bucket of KFC, and it's all I looked forward to. KFC sides, I got the mac and cheese, I got the fries, I got the mashed potatoes and gravy, biscuits, coleslaw. Yeah, get the sides. I get the coleslaw and the mashed potatoes with the gravy. I love this stuff. Anyway, I can smell it already. I even would keep the bucket back in the day. That's probably more part of my horrible childhood than an endorsement of the bucket. But we love this stuff. You can smell it. Close your eyes. You can smell that KFC right now.
There are other ways to live dangerously. Some people skydive. You know, some people do all kinds of crazy things. Or you could live dangerously by getting intestinal blockage a couple of ways by eating a Hot Pocket. Mm. So Nestle Prepared Foods is recalling almost 1 million pounds of pepperoni Hot Pockets. This is according to the U.S. Department of Agriculture and Food Safety. The frozen stuffed sandwiches are being recalled because they, quote, may be contaminated with extraneous materials, specifically pieces of glass and hard plastic.
Oh.
The problem.
But
yeah,
I will
the
say problem this. Discovered,
yeah.
Pepperoni Hot Pocket, good name for cheese V.
That's true.
These people are eating
it. Yours is an Italian fella.
We got a couple eating a chocolate souffle up here, which is just delectable. I can smell it, you know. Yeah.
Oh. Well, couple people have been hurt, and one was reported with oral injury.
Oh. Well, can I say this? I'm a chocoholic, okay? I'm also addicted to fentanyl. And sex with underage boys. But first, I'm a chocoholic.
Guilty.
Guilty. And the fentanyl and underage boys thing. But mostly chocolate. No, you guys enjoy. You guys enjoy the sights and sounds of that. Do you have to order that souffle before? Do you have to order it in advance, 20 minutes? Too much pressure. I feel like that's too much pressure. I've had that happen a million times. I go, you want the souffle? I go, yeah, I'm thinking about the souffle. It'll be a game time decision. No, we got to go now. Yeah. You've got to commit now. How long's it take? 20 minutes. By the way, if they said 19 minutes, you'd be in. But they go 20, and you're freaked out. 20? That's almost half an hour. What the fuck are we going to do? But you guys committed to the souffle, right? Smart. I like that. Who's the... Now, do you do it to appease her? Does she do it to appease you? The thing about dessert is no couple can agree on it. One has to agree to let the other person have the dessert and then eat most of it. Is that you? You have to go, well, I wasn't really planning on anything too heavy, you know? I didn't get my jog in today. You just go ahead. I'll pick at the crust a little, and then you eat most of the dessert. But meanwhile, emotionally, you blame him for ordering the dessert. That's good. And you put some ice cream on that? There was. Oh, it would have been nice. Yeah, 21 minutes for the ice cream. Sorry. Why is 20 minutes the universal souffle time? I feel like they could have rounded to half an hour, backed it down to 15. Why 20? Who decided?
I wonder if there's a reason that it's 20 minutes is also the universal wait for your table time.
Mm.
It could be 10 minutes. It could be an hour. They will always tell you 20.
Now, let me ask this. I've never done this, but if you order multiple souffles, is it 40 minutes, or are we still just a straight 20?
You stagger them?
And, yeah, keep them coming. I went 3 an hour for the next day. Keep that shit coming, like Monty Python guy. Is it all chocolate souffle, or do they have the lemon souffle? Just the chocolate? Is lemon on the table? No. I like lemon souffle. I don't know, but I've never ordered one because I don't have the guts because it's 20 minutes. Because I'm always like, a lot could happen in the next 20 minutes. You know what I mean? We could get in a huge blowout and you could divorce me. And then what would we do with the souffle? I could have a massive coronary and never see the souffle. There could be an Al-Qaeda situation where the door got kicked in and bullets were spraying everywhere and I was 14 minutes away from the souffle. Lot can happen in that 20 minutes for that souffle. This is a gutsy call. I respect it. But there is no doggy bag for souffle, right? You can't take it home.
No.
Is it? It's true you can't transport a souffle, right?
No, because don't you mix? It's warm and it doesn't go with the ice cream. It becomes a big kind of sloppy mess.
And it's also molten.
And you can't get it out of the bowl. You have to eat it out of the bowl.
Yeah. Right.
You can't transfer it from the bowl. You can purchase the souffle bowl. I say souffle is to the doggy bag. The souffle is to dessert what nachos are to dinner. You cannot transport nachos. You cannot transport souffles. You can't bring them home. They can barely get them from the fucking kitchen out here. I saw it. It was three dudes. One guy was holding his back. You can't transport souffles. You got to eat them all. You have to finish the souffle. Did your husband order the souffle or was that you? You're on it? You like the chocolate? That time of the month? Does that time of the month really make you do stuff or is it just stuff you wanted to do anyway but you just couldn't? I mean, isn't that what everyone does? But everyone just goes, oh, I'm drinking now because the Rams lost. Or I'm smoking. That's all shit you wanted to do. I'm laying around getting fat and blaming my parents because X, Y, and Z. You guys just have something you can blame it on. We can't blame it on shit.
There's a couple of snack items that I'll give you. Like, yes, like maybe a souffle, I'll fudge the numbers. But if you've ever in 6 years seen me cry or snap at any of you, I was 14 seconds from my period. I stand by it.
But you guys can eat a giant, you know, you can eat a whole box of Hydrox or double stuff Oreo
now
cookies or something. And if we say to you, why, you go, because I'm on my period. And if you say to a guy who just polished off a whole box of Hydrox, why, he goes, because I'm a sack of shit, okay?
What do you want from me?
What do you want from me? I'm a piece of shit. So we don't have an out like you guys have.
True.
You guys are lucky. Lucky
we're being
with
a woman with a pre-existing condition. At least we get cookies on our period.
And you get to claim your period is as bad as you want it to be. And there's no way we can ever really check. We don't know shit about it. We don't have follow-up questions. And then you get to do this move where you do something very mean and irrational and horrible to your man, and then at some point you apologize and explain it was because of the period, and then at some point 27 days later when the shit happens again, and this time we nip it in the bud and we go, oh, are you just saying you wish my dad was dead because you're on your period? Because I think that's the period talking. And then you're allowed to freak out even harder on us and say it has nothing to do with the period.
That's right.
Interesting rules to the period game. All right, sorry.
Yeah, we're allowed to say we're on our period. You can't.
Right. That's right.
But I do have a public service announcement, given the subject matter. If you might find yourself on your period or something else that requires cookies, I have good news for you because the Girl Scout cookies, which are now starting to roll out countrywide, will be delivered to you by Grubhub. So they've made a deal with the food delivery service. It's the first time Girl Scouts have sold cookies, who've sold these cookies for more than 100 years, have collaborated with a delivery service. So to promote the partnership, Girl Scouts said Grubhub will offer free delivery on cookie orders for at least $15 until Valentine's Day. So get your Samoas and peppermint patties.
Well, the one good thing about at least out in L.A. with the whole goddamn state of California being shut down is no more guys bringing their kids cookies, the Girl Scout cookies, to work and then pimping out the dads.
That's right.
What? When did dads become mules for Girl Scout cookies? When I was a kid, Girl Scout cookies were sold by Girl Scouts in front of the supermarket. If you would have said to dads in my era, when I was 9 years old, if you would have said to a dad, hey, how about you get a brick of these Girl Scout cookies and take them into the office and guilt everyone you work with into buying a box, he would have just pulled the fucking box out and smacked the kid over the head with it. That's what he would have done. Now they do it. And by the way, you can't just buy one box. You got to show up to work with a pallet jack and buy, like, cases of this stuff on pallets. Like honestly, you can, if you buy one box, you go, oh, you're just going to get the one flavor? You got to buy multiple boxes. So there is no more, at least in California, bringing it in. But what is the best Girl Scout cookie? Thin Mints. Thin Mints are good. Thin Mints are good, but you freeze them, right?
Yes.
But that is a process, you know. That suggests something. You know what I'm saying? I say room temperature. What's the best?
Are Samoas the one with the caramel?
Yes.
Yeah, those are good.
That's mine.
No, it's all about the tagalong.
Is it the peanut butter? The peanut butter ones are the best, right?
Those are great, but the tagalongs is basically a Twix, a peanut butter Twix in cookie shape. And remember, they call these things different things in different parts of the country, so we have to make sure we're saying...
Oh, really? Yeah, because like in California, they're trefoils, and then like here, they're Jewfishes. They got different names. We got the sea bass. We got the Jewfish. Yeah. All right. Girl Scout cookies. Awesome.
Girl Scout cookies. Delicious.
Hey, let me say this about the Girl Scout cookie. Never thought about this before. Girl Scout cookies are something you often eat in secret. You know what I mean? You're trying to quietly... You can't quietly open a box of Girl Scout cookies. That weird cellophane package you're in is too goddamn noisy. It's like some sort of alert, like, oh, neighbors! He's getting into the cookies! It makes a noise. It's a loud-ass noise. What is that? If they made a silent container, like if they lined it with velvet... or flannel or something. Maybe it wouldn't be cost effective, but I would be much more apt to buy a box of those cookies. They seem to send the alert. There's a sound that it makes. The dog comes running. You see the neighbors turning the lights on. The kids are coming down the stairs. There's that weird, loud, crackly sound. I don't know. Weird observation. Right. What else we got, Gina Grad?
Well, there is a new most expensive car on the market, and it's one you might not be as familiar with, Adam, because it's a Hot Wheels car, and it is worth $150,000. It's the pink Beach Bomb, which I think we'll have a picture of. There it is, the Beach Bomb Volkswagen bus. It was produced in 1969. It's the most valuable Hot Wheels car in the world, both because it's so rare and because it happens to be in nearly perfect condition. The owner of this thing is a guy named Bruce Pascal, who claims that he'll never sell it, even though it's worth more than a lot of full-size cars and fully operational exotic sports cars. But that little teeny tiny trinket, $150,000.
Well, by the way, the thing where they go, I'll never sell it. Yeah, but your greedy fucking kids will sell it 10 minutes after you're in the ground. So
that's
don't
right.
give me you'll never sell it. Yeah, you'll never sell it. You're 77 years old. Give it 36 months when you die and your gay stepson comes back and fucking puts that shit up on eBay. They always do
that
shit.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, that's what my son's going to do. I'm not delusional. I know my kid is going to sell every one of my Paul Newman race cars the second I'm... Yeah. No, he told me. He told me. He's like, I'm going to be rich. I'm like, no, you're not, because you're lazy and you're dumb. You got to be... You either got to be smart or you got to be hardworking. You can't be 0-for-2. And he's like, oh, yeah, I'm going to have more money than you. And I'm like, no, you're not. And he's like, yeah, I'm going to wait for you to die. And then we're going to sell all your cars. And I'm going to have more money than you. And I'm like, all right, but I'm going to be buried in all my cars. No, I don't know. So this guy's got a Hot Wheel. I don't know. The Hot Wheels, would we describe it as low mileage? Like, I'm trying to think of what a low mileage, because you do have to go. All right. Yeah. All right. I think Carol Shelby's Cobra just sold for like $5.4 million or 4.8 or something like that. Shelby's Cobra sold for five what? 5.94. There it was. So almost $6 million. So if anyone has a AC Cobra that Carol Shelby personally owned, this is a good day for you guys. But I'm guessing the majority of you don't. All right. Let's do one more, Gina Grad.
All right. Well, we talked about the new Mountain Dew flavor yesterday. That's Major Melons, a.k.a. what you decided was my nickname in high school.
Major
I have another
Melons.
Mountain Dew
Here she
story
comes.
For you.
Mm-hmm. Sorry.
So if you're cooking at home and you love Mountain Dew, you can now marry your two favorite loves. You are in luck. Mountain Dew has announced they will be releasing their first cookbook called The Big Bold Book of Mountain Dew Recipes. It goes on sale any day at the Dew store. It's $30, and you can learn how to make pancakes with Mountain Dew syrup.
Hold on a second.
Yes.
This whole thing, like... You're going to learn how to make pancakes with Mountain Dew. Hold on. Are we in prison? Or can we get regular pancake ingredients? Because I feel like we're in the joint, and all we have is a surplus of Mountain Dew and pancake mix. Maybe you got me there. But if, in fact, we're on the outside and there are supermarkets where we can purchase traditional items to make pancakes, then this is a non-starter for me. I've never thought, no one's ever said, hey, should we make pancakes today? And I went, that doesn't make me fat enough. How can we boost up the caloric value of these pancakes? Because I feel like all the starch, butter, and syrup is not enough for me to really pack on the weight. I need Mountain Dew involved with this. Has anyone ever had pancakes and thought, where's the Mountain Dew? I have had a Mountain Dew and thought, where the fuck are the pancakes? But I've never gone the other direction with that. So you can make pancakes with Mountain Dew.
If that wasn't gross enough, there's even a Mountain Dew green eggs and ham.
Oh.
Ew.
Yeah. Now, the only reason you might not be familiar with this, it might be a Southern thing. I don't know if maybe my fabulous Floridians can help, but there is something I've seen at barbecue joints called 7-Up Cake. Has anyone ever heard of anything like this?
That's true.
Because
you
got to
order it 20 minutes in advance. 21
so
minutes in advance.
These beverages. Yes,
yeah. All right. 7-Up Cake. You kind of like, I think if I was high enough, I'd kind of be down with 7-Up Cake. But as far
Mountain
as.
Mountain Dew pancakes.
Yeah. As far as the Mountain Dew pancakes. No. Do they have other things in there? Do they have like Mountain Dew hummus? I don't know. I'm trying to get a little international. You guys
They have a, you know, I don't know if you know this because you obviously haven't ordered the book, but they have Mountain Dew Hot Dish.
Oh, is this Minnesota great. Mom?
Yeah, I'm so happy to be here when you're talking about this, because my grandson, he's a hoot. He ordered us this cookbook as a joke, but I got to tell you, joke's on him, because Mountain Dew tuna casserole is phenomenal.
Oh, no. Mountain Dew tuna casserole. No.
Oh, you haven't lived, Adam Carolla. Now, of course, I've done the Mountain Dew bars. Those are great.
The bars,
and if you
want to
spike your coffee a little, you could put a little Mountain Dew in there. But I tell you, when you do a normal hot dish, at least at my house, you have the tuna, you have the egg noodles, and you have the potato chips. But the secret is you pour the Mountain Dew room temperature over the whole casserole, and you broil that baby, and oh, you won't know what hit you.
Wow, Minnesota mom, everybody.
Oh, it's great to see you guys. Stay warm.
We're in Florida. We're fine.
Okay,
although it was cold today.
Sweater.
It was cold when we were out. All right, let's bring it home, Gina Grad.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Gina Grad.
That was the news with Gina Grad.
I don't know who gave me this maker's mark, but God bless you. Did you guys finish your souffle? Did you get it all? Does it? You guys tell me. I don't like wasting food, but I don't like looking super desperate either. But the souffle thing forces you to be super desperate. Like, you get your knife out and start scratching away at the little container because it's all spot welded on there. Whoever's cleaning the dishes back there has got to be pissed every time a souffle order comes in, right? It's like, oh, fucking awesome. Couldn't have got the goddamn quesadillas. Nope. Had to get the fucking souffle. I got to fucking stay overnight to get this shit cleaned off. All right. Let's give a hand to Bald Brian and Gina and bid them adieu. You guys get ready for your Adam Carolla's unprepared questions, and I'll hit a quick 30-second Geico here. Do you own? Do you rent? Well, you probably do one or the other. And you've got an automobile, right? So how about you bundle those and save lots with your Geico policy? Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners and renters insurance along with your auto policy. So go to geico.com, get a quote. See just how much you could be saving when you bundle at geico.com. All right, let's do a little Adam Carolla's Unprepared. You guys shout out a word. See if we can do a bit on that word.
Truck stop.
Truck, what do we got?
Truck stop.
Truck stop. All right. Is that one word?
Truck stop bathroom.
Now we got three words going. All right. Truck stops. First things first, I don't drive a truck. I don't have a license. I don't have an 18-wheeler. My feeling is nothing good has ever happened at a truck stop. No one ever returned from a truck stop and said, "Great news! You wouldn't believe my fortune of what happened at this truck stop." It's always a disaster. I think it's the lowest form of prostitution, the truck stop. I'm not sure. I'm pretty sure the highest. Let's try to figure out our prostitute pecking order, all right? Flying into Dubai for the F1 race. That's the top. That's the crown jewel in prostitution, right? When you have to fly in somewhere for the Super Bowl or the F1 race. So number one, like, I don't wish my daughter, well, actually, I'd like her to have a job. All right. I don't actively hope that she's a prostitute, but if she ends up choosing that career path, I would like her to be one of the prostitutes that's flown into Monaco for the F1 race, because I feel like that is the top of the rung of the pyramid of the prostitute ladder. Okay. Then after that goes flown in for the Super Bowl. After that is your kind of regional work, you know, Mardi Gras, but you work in the Louisiana area already. After that, you get down to basic call girl. Then you get to streetwalker. Then you get to runaway streetwalker. Then you get into gay runaway streetwalker. And eventually you get to truck stop prostitute, right? That is the lowest. So, If my daughter or any other female family member announces to me that they've decided to be a prostitute, I think, please don't be a truck stop prostitute, because that is the lowest. But if you ever do go into a truck stop, you'll be amazed at all the things that can run off of a cigarette lighter. Have you seen these things? Like, you go, wow, I never needed to make waffles on the road, but thank God if I ever choose to, there's something that's powered by a cigarette lighter that could make me waffles. Or, like, I didn't need a George Foreman sandwich maker. I didn't need a bingo hopper. I didn't need a skillet. I didn't need any of this stuff. But evidently, everything they have there can run. Anything you have in your home can be powered by a cigarette lighter in a truck. But I feel like the average trucker is morbidly obese, right? Which is part of the reason you don't want your daughter to ever become... because she's going to have some guy euphemistically nicknamed Tiny only because he's morbidly obese on top of her. And like my grandfather used to say, fat guys can't come. So I was 9, and I didn't even have a context for that. I was like, how about a new broom sweeps clean? He's like, nope. Going with fat guys can't come. Again, more work for the truck stop prostitute. So all they have in those truck stops, except for and beyond the prostitutes, is shit that runs off of a cigarette lighter and then snacks that make you fat and things that prove you're an American. And my thing is we don't need things. We don't need the T-shirts or the God Guts and Guns Made This Country Free or Sierra Club Take a Hike to Hell bumper stickers. We know you're patriotic American because you're morbidly obese and you're driving an 18-wheeler. And that's as American as it gets. Thank you. God bless. Thank you. God bless. God bless. Thank you. All right, let's do another one. Oh, wait a minute. The Rams. I heard the Rams. They must have lost. God damn it. I knew my Rams lost. So wait a minute. They're not my Rams. When they lose, they're your Rams, not my Rams. So Los Angeles Rams lost. I just found that out up on stage in real time. Fine. Here's the deal. Stop mussing with the uniforms, everybody. Get one good goddamn uniform and keep it. They've gone from the gold or the pewter or the whatever the fuck with the blue and then the royal blue and then the light blue. Now they have this weird kind of baby poop white, you know, and the yellow. I don't even recognize these things anymore. Who are the greatest? The greatest teams, the greatest sports franchises and organizations, they're the Yankees. There's Michigan, the football team. There's Ohio State. They just have one fucking uniform. They don't change the stupid uniform up every 10 minutes. I don't know what they're doing. Obviously, everyone's just trying to sell merch online. But stick with one thing. Look, here's the thing. Coca-Cola was around for 100 years, and then Coca-Cola tried to invent something called New Coke, and then the nation turned on it, and then they went back to Old Coke. So shouldn't we learn a lesson from Coca-Cola? You have a brand, you have a likeness, you have a logo, fucking stick with it. You can't change it every 20 minutes. When I was born, the Rams were just the Rams, and then the Rams from the time I was 0 to the time I was 28 when the souffle was ready. Just call that a callback, people. My son has been on this earth for 14 years. He's seen 128 iterations of the Rams uniform. Has no fucking idea who this home team is anymore because they never stop changing it. I blame Nike and Oregon State, right? Because those are the assholes who decided, no, we gotta treat this. It's like what women do with ball gowns. It's like, I can't wear this one again. Why not? Because I wore it before. Do you think people give a shit if you wear the same handful of taffeta every 7 years? taffeta. I don't even know what taffeta is. It's a 1980s thing? Well, I'm making a reference to an old dress from the 80s. All right, a flirty handful of chiffon. Grandma would wear chiffon? All right, I don't know. I don't keep up on women's apparel. I'm simply saying guys buy a suit and they wear the fucking suit into the ground. Like, guys, you know how you know guys wear suits for long periods of time? Every time you climb back into one of your suits, you find some stub from parking or like, this is from Nana's funeral. She died in 1969. Like, it's 2017. What happened? Oh, yeah, this is that tab from the steak place that burned down 27 years ago. Like, you always find either money or something that actually stamps the date of the last time we wore the suit. But the point is you women don't do that. You don't do it with your wedding dresses either. Oh, the biggest lie in a marriage. Longer than in sickness or health or to death do us part. You know, a much more grievous lie than that is the dress. See, the guy either wears a suit he has or he rents a tuxedo. The woman pays $2,700 for a dress she's going to wear one time. But there's this claim. Oh, I'm going to wear it the one time, and then our daughter's going to wear it when she comes down the aisle 30 years from now. You're like, so you're saying the daughter wears the mom's super expensive dress 30 years from now, right? Yeah. Okay. Why aren't you fucking wearing your mom's dress then? That's my fucking question. Did this tradition start 11 minutes ago? I don't think so. The same bullshit's been handed down through generations. 27. And by the way, you think my fucking daughter wants to wear your dress all covered with my jizz 27 years from now? No. It's disgusting. She's got a promising career as a truck stop prostitute. She doesn't need... She's not even born yet. We don't even know if we're going to have a daughter. So I'm going to cry foul on this one. You have to pay a shitload of money for the dress. They wear it the one time. And then you have to pay for it to be stored for the next 1,000 years. So, and I don't even know how that works. But I think I pay like $18 a month to have this thing stored. And how much does it cost? You girls know. Jew fish Mary over here? What do you think? First off, she'll answer to whatever the fuck I call her, so don't correct me, all right? Nancy, Jew fish, doesn't matter. When I fucking snap my fingers, she hops. That's our relationship. It's eyes wide shut. We got that going on. That's right. She'll do my bidding. Do you guys store shit? Do you store dresses? Is that me? Did I get? You what?
I have a quinceañera dress.
You have a quinceañera dress? All right. That you wore when you're, what are you, 15? When you?
30.
But it's 15 years of storage, right? Yeah. Let me say this about the Mexican culture. This thing where, like, you become a woman at 15, I think that's the problem with the teenage pregnancies over there, the quinceañeras. Also, I have to tell my Guatemalan nanny, stop calling my daughter mama. And she's like, that's what we call everyone mama. Yeah, you call a mama. Mama's when you're pregnant. That's why you got a bunch of 11-year-olds scrapping out kids in Guatemala. You call them all fucking mama. Why don't you just add single in front of it? Really drive the point home. Hi, single mama. It's true. She is fucking single, and you insist on calling her mama. She's going to be pregnant by the 7th grade. Can't call her college grad or even truck stop prostitute would be a... All right, let's do one. I don't even know what the last one was. What was the last one? What was it? Oh, the Rams. Yeah. How'd we get on to wedding dresses? All right. Rams, uniforms. Fuck. That. Let's do one more. Tarzana. The San Fernando Valley. Ventura. I understand. I'm a Valley guy. I know where Tarzana is. Somewhere between. What? All right. Listen, buddy. The tip of a pin at my house. That's what I want you to talk about. We don't get that specific. We're in Naples here. Not everyone knows where Tarzana is, but it's between Havenhurst and Woodley or something on Ventura Boulevard. You know, Tarzana is named after Tarzan? Yeah. Although, never thought about that. Well, that makes sense, right? Tarzana, Tarzan. But let's get back to the Latin culture over here. You put the A at the end of it, and it makes it feminine, right? So Tarzana means Tarzan's a bitch. Tarzan-o, that means he's got a big swinging dick. But Tarzana, you've now feminized Tarzan, right? So you take Tarzan, who's the most... But he's the most manly.
He's like his daughter.
He's, yeah, Tarzana. There. Oh, yeah, he's got a daughter with a learning disability. Let's name a city after it. Tarzan is the most male of all the TV characters. He wears a loincloth. He communicates with animals. Like, he's got the call. He pounds the chest. He swings on a vine. He fights tigers. He has a sidekick who's a monkey. He kicks ass. He fucking beds every hot chick who gets lost in the jungle. I don't know what you're doing, hot chick. Stay out of the jungle. You're going to get fucked. Tarzan does a move. He does the most manly move. Is there a more manly move than you swinging on a vine and grabbing a chick with your free arm and then sliding up to a tree branch and landing on it? That is the most masculine move ever. You got six-pack abs. You got pecs. You got delts. You got shoulders. You got quads. And... we take your city and we end it with an A, so it sounds feminine, and now you've taken Tarzan. By the way, you could have just named it Tarzan. Why can't you name? We got Encino. Encino is next to Tarzana. Encino ends with a fucking O. It makes it masculine, but yet we had to put the A at the end of Tarzana and turn it into a feminine. So... that's all I got. That's all I got. I got no more. That's all I can think of. Don't get me started on Canoga Park. All right. So, and I think Tarzan originally was Johnny Weissmuller. Does that sound familiar? Johnny Weissmuller was the guy, he was an Olympic swimmer. He was an Olympic swimmer. So they're like, oh, you look good in your underpants. Why don't you put a loincloth on and swing from this vine? So Johnny Weissmuller was the original Tarzan. And I don't know if he called it Tarzana or if he's the guy who named Tarzana Tarzana. And then also... I like the fact that we didn't have rules back then, so you could just name shit wherever you landed. Do you know the Tarzana story, Max Fanna?
Yeah, so where Tarzana is, it was formerly a ranch owned by Edgar Rice Burroughs, who wrote the Tarzan novels.
Mm. So he wrote it, and then he just proclaimed it.
Yeah.
Right. All right. And... by the way, speaking of ranches, the Spahn Ranch, where... Charles Manson hung out is probably only 6 miles as the crow flies from Tarzana. All right, let me hit Simply Safe. Just 15 seconds here for Simply Safe. Everybody wants to keep their home safe. And how about Simply Safe? Award-winning 24/7 protection. No long-term contracts, no hidden fees, no installation costs. You get free home security camera when you sign up at Simply Safe. SimplySafe.com. That is SimplySafe.com/Adam. All right. I want to thank Gina Grad and Bald Brian and you guys and the Soufflé couple for hanging tough tonight. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying mahalo. Thanks, guys.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow Ace on Twitter at Adam Carolla. You can leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744 and pick up Adam's book. I'm your emotional support animal. It's available everywhere. Get the links at adamcarolla.com.
Hey, Geico, do you own? Do you rent? Well, you do one or the other, right? You know, it's hard work out there. Owning, renting. You want to save some money? How about you bundle? Bundle your policies at Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle the homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you got so much to do already. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see just how much you could save at Geico. That is geico.com today. That's geico.com.
Hey, movie lovers, who needs a theater when you have Pluto TV? Grab your popcorn and your streaming device because free movies are here. Pluto TV is your home for movies. Great movies are playing anytime in over 20 exclusive movie channels of action, horror, rom-coms, and more. Watch hits like Saving Private Ryan, Pretty in Pink, and Charlie's Angels all for free. No signups, no fees, no contracts. Ever. Download the free Pluto TV app on any device.